are you calling bums, pal?
You.
Randy.
Listen, we got two more of us in the back seat. Pity the back seat. If you're
Stop
looking
it.
For a fight.
I am looking for a fight.
Come on, put
Let's
the
go.
Down.
Come on, right now.
Come
right
on.
Now.
And we're up. This is episode 19 of Mission Statements, a Delta Bravo Urban Exploration Team podcast. With my man over here, Greg Samsa. It's Samsa, right? Not Samsa. What's that?
Samsa. You got it right.
All right. This is I had to ask you if you wanted to come on here because there's several little connections here. Because, as you probably know, one of the original founders of the whole Delta Bravo team is Nocco. And Nocco Nolan was, I never knew his government name for years. And then next thing you know, I am watching Crime Scene, the disappearance of at the Cecil Hotel, and there's Nocco, who is...
Yeah, I the first time I saw that, I didn't know it was Nocco. I only found out afterwards.
Yeah.
I know his civilian name.
Yeah, so I was like, are you kidding me? So that whole, plus the whole incident at the Cecil, you know, is basically pretty well known, you know, especially somebody like myself who I'm into true crime and horror and quote unquote spooky shit and Richard Ramirez and serial killers. So
yeah,
I was very hip.
Really on the same page there. So.
Yeah. So now before I'm just going to shut up for a little bit and I'm just going to give you the floor because if people don't know by now, you, Greg, you are actually sitting in the Cecil Hotel right now.
Yes, I certainly am.
And you are a resident at the Cecil Hotel.
Yes, by a strange twist of fate, here I find myself.
Talk to me about that strange twist of fate, man.
Well, I mean, we could get in, but I thought maybe we'd talk about... you know, how my old days with Delta Bravo and...
Of course, we'll get to that too, 100%. Well, how about this? We'll talk about whatever you want to talk about now. You want to talk about that stuff? We absolutely... I took notes. We were going to get into all of that stuff. But I figured since you're in the Cecil, you know, that's the elephant in the room.
Okay, well, let's just go with that then. I actually had a pretty serious... series of misfortunes that led me to you know, this sorry state that I'm in. It started about 4 years ago when I had a really adverse ruling in a divorce situation that took a, you know, significant prop, you know, gave me a significant problem, and things just sort of compounded from there. And I found myself, I guess to make a long story short, I found myself checked into a homeless shelter in Long Beach. You know, that after I had exhausted everything I could think to do as a side hustle. Essentially, this coincided with my losing my ability to make the living the way I've made it for the last 30 years. So basically, scratch. So I found myself, you know, one way or another at a Long Beach homeless shelter. And I was there for a while, just kind of getting used to it. And I managed to get a hold of an electric scooter, which I was using to get around. And I was driving that one day and I got attacked. Some guy ran out into the middle of Long Beach Boulevard, tried to grab my scooter when I was going about 20 miles an hour, and completely shattered my left ulna, broke my right tibia.
Jesus.
So yeah, so I was in a homeless shelter and now I was in a wheelchair. And so anyway, to make a long story short, but on the positive side, they caught the guy and he got 3 years.
Good.
Yeah, so So that's the happy part of the story. They caught the guy and got 3 years. So anyway, I got discharged from the hospital a few days later. I ended up in primary, like a, what they call rehab. It's like where they send bums that get hit by cars. They, instead of just putting them back on the street, they send them to these rehab hospitals. And this one was in Pico Union, downtown, which, they told me the different places I could go. And I don't know anything about like urban hardcore LA.
Right.
So I was just thinking, as long as it isn't South Central, right? As long as it's not, it should be cool. So when they said Pico Union, it's like, oh yeah, cool. That's not South Central. Turns out that's as hardcore as any place in Compton.
Really? California is a foreign country to me. I don't know. I was in Cali once about 12, 13 years ago, but I was on a job and I was in Long Beach and I was in a Holiday Inn for 2 weeks and I didn't really get to venture out at all. For about 2 hours, I took the rental car that the company that I was with was supplying us. And the guys that I was with were like bores. They were just boring guys. I'm like, we're sitting here for 2 weeks on call. We're not even working and we're on the company's dime in nice hotel in Long Beach. What are we doing just sitting here? We have a 3 hour response time if we get a phone call. Why aren't we like out and about? So eventually I was like, give me the damn car keys. There was no smartphones yet. So being from Brooklyn, I was like, whatever. And I just followed signs and I parked somewhere, made sure I was able to park there. And I walked around like by the whiskey and stuff like that, just to see like basically like the touristy shit. But this is way before Delta Bravo and shit. But that was the only time I was ever in California. So I'm planning a trip next summer there. And I have a couple of other Delta Bravo guys helping me out because I don't know. It's like, oh yeah, up in the valley, down in the hills, over there. Over, I don't know what the hell you guys are talking about.
what do you have? What are your like must haves? Like, what do you have to have?
Oh, well, my number one bucket list ever is Spahn Ranch, and I got to go there.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. You know what? I've never been to Spahn Ranch.
Yeah, Spahn Ranch. I need to go to the Wonderland Avenue spot with the Four on the Floor murders. I'm bringing my daughter with me, so there's a couple of things that she wants to see, like the Poltergeist house, and, you know, I want to see, like, the Sunset Strip, like, I know it's not there anymore, but, like, Gazzari's and the Comedy Store and the Whiskey. Like, I want to see all the, like, the really easy touristy shit. But then again, I also want to go to, like, places where, like, the Slumber Party Massacre was filmed. Like, I have all these addresses.
Yeah. Well, the one you just mentioned around Sunset is where the Two Tonys hit happened.
Okay.
I can't remember the Two Tonys involved, but I do remember that they had many, many, many holes in them, and they're slumped over in their car. Mm-hmm. And the thing about the gangster things is, like, whenever they would show, like, publish gangster photos, like murder scene photos, they wouldn't censor them in any way. Like, they didn't want to give them any. So there's some really graphic photos, and it looks exactly like it did when the hit happened.
Nice. Yeah, I want to I want to see the friggin' Cecil. I need to see Cecil. I want to see the staircase where Richard Ramirez would go up and, you know, after he's done all of his fucking crazy shit, you know.
Yeah, I did. I just came up that staircase on the way here. It's just like an everyday thing.
Of course it is. But like, to me, that's like, holy shit. You know what I mean? So.
Well, it was like that the first time I did it too.
Of course. I need to see that shit.
I was just all over the building, just. It was nice because at that point it was mostly empty.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I think we got sidetracked from how I ended up here.
That's what happens. Go on.
So what happened was I was in this rehab hospital, and then the pandemic was in full swing, and then they started this program called Project Room Key.
Okay.
Which was basically for the pandemic, we're going to move all the homeless people into hotel rooms.
Right.
So that's how I ended up at the Mayfair Hotel. And, as the pandemic dragged on, I ended up there for like 2 years.
Really? Well, how far away is the Mayfair Hotel from you?
It's about 3/4 of a mile. Okay. It's just on the other side of downtown.
Okay.
So they were going to close that, and they gave, they were going to close it. And so they gave us all these, you know, places that we could go apply for. You know, and I looked and there were just a million of them at 640 South Main. And I'm like, wow, that sounds familiar. What address? And I looked it up. Well, fuck, that's the Cecil Hotel.
Jesus. So
I started looking. Richard Ramirez's room was on there. Elisa Lam's room was on there. I mean, I could have moved into any of them, you know, at the time. So I rushed over here and just made my application, you know, picked the room that I'm in right now. And, eventually, at the end of August, this happened in December, I got the keys to the room, and here I am.
Now, I have a stupid question, because I'm putting myself in your shoes as much as I possibly can. Me, being the way I am, I probably would have taken Richard Ramirez's room.
Yeah, yeah.
Why didn't you do that? You had the perfect opportunity.
I regret, like, not doing that now. Because I'm getting, you know, I just, that's where everyone wants to. I've been inside the room.
Is it occupied now?
It's occupied now.
Yeah. Damn it. Okay.
But Delta Bravo's own Danny Johnson got to go in here when he visited. So
that's who's helping me map out my Cali trip.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I was thinking, Halloween too. The Halloween sites in South Pasadena is another one. Got to be the hedge where Michael Myers is standing behind.
Absolutely.
You can do that one. So you got, I mean, that's one you got to do. I can help with that.
Yeah. There's that. There's a Nightmare on Elm Street house. There's several locations from Nightmare on Elm Street, Tina's house. There's a lot of stuff. I have it's a preliminary list. There's going to be some things that are going to come off probably. And I know that once I'm there, I'm going to wind up finding stuff on my way that is not on my list, because that's what happened in my last road trip last summer. But I think I have 52 different spots already mapped out, addresses, everything so far.
Yeah. I've been to the Barker Ranch.
I need to go.
Yeah, that's pretty much, you know, the Spahn Ranch is, I've never actually been to, but Barker Ranch is the ultimate Manson site. I mean, you can't top that.
Right.
And
it's not that far from there, is it?
Oh, it's quite a ways.
It's like
if you were to pick a place to ride out the zombie apocalypse, this is the spot you would pick. It's so incredibly isolated, you can't believe it. The only reason it exists is because there's a well there. So there's some water. There's water available year round.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I need to.
You got to earn it. You got to earn it.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. I'll make sure I'll stay on my road trip an extra day in order to be able to map that and get there.
You just need serious four-wheel drive in order to reach it and a significant investment in travel time.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't think it was that, I knew it was out there, but I didn't think it was that far out there.
Oh, I was shocked at how isolated it was the first time I went there. When they took him to jail in Independence, that was 50 miles away. That was the local jail. 50 was the local jail to tell him in was 50 miles away.
No shit.
No freaking where, man. It's just nothing out there.
Wow. Okay. Interesting. Super interesting.
Yeah.
So now you finally get your room. Now, I've been watching, because I know you posted, and I read and I look at all of your posts because I'm fascinated with that shit. And you can probably see all my comments and shit. I always write silly comments. But there's some insane shit that you post, man, that's coming right from the place where you dwell. It's fucking...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I just thought, you know, I would move in here, and then I was kind of thinking, well, shit, I'm just going to be all disappointed. You know, it'll just be a normal place and just, you know, like any other place I've been. No. Work that way here. This place plays by completely different roles. It's just you know, if you get in the elevator and the other dude in the elevator isn't wearing any pants, you just roll with it. You know, and just hey, you know, and then you just get out of the elevator. I mean, that's how it is. It's just...
Really?
Yeah. It's just everyone pretty much keeps to themselves because everyone.
It's really that batshit crazy. Well, it is. It has to be batshit crazy because there's a video that you posted. There's a lot that you've posted, but there's one in particular. There's a dude. There's a naked guy throwing furniture. Yeah. It's off the fire escape into the street. What the fuck, dude?
Yeah. And that, in fact, that's the subject of of the, there's a, some, I have some friends of mine are doing a YouTube channel based on my experiences here.
Right.
And, that's the first episode, but that was crazy. I mean, I got here, I mean, it was like probably a week and a half after I'd moved in, and it was my first like fire alarm, first time the fire alarm went off. Yeah. So I don't know what happens when you do, when there's a fire alarm at the Cecil. I mean, do you ignore it? Do you go outside? You know, whatever. And then I heard a great deal of commotion out on the street. So I said, well, shit, you know, maybe this is a real fire and, you know, I should go down. So I went down on the street and started filming. As soon as I left the building, I turned left and I start walking. And then all these people start yelling, and I didn't realize they were yelling at me. They're like, hey, stop, 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 watch out. And then this huge shopping cart crashes onto the sidewalk right in front of me. And
a shopping cart. He had a shopping cart up in his room.
Yeah, we, yeah, like a, you know, like a the one personal shopping cart, like a
okay,
cart.
Okay.
And yeah, and so I dove back and realized there's a dude up there, and he's completely buck naked, throwing and then you know, throwing shit down to the street below, and there was just debris.
What floor was he on? Sorry to cut you off, but what floor was he on?
Fourth floor.
And what floor do you live on?
I'm 6th floor. I live 2 floors above him.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's almost you know, I could have gone and, you know, confronted the guy if I wanted to.
Yeah.
But the other thing that was really shocking in the tape is while all of this is going on, there's not a cop in sight.
That's crazy too. It's like the Wild West.
By the time I got down to the street, this whole incident had probably been going 10, 15 minutes. And there's carnage everywhere and not a cop in sight. And they eventually roll up later in response to the fire alarm. And they basically ignore the guy throwing furniture down on the sidewalk.
What?
As far as I know, they just let him go. So, yeah.
Really?
Different rules. There's different rules down here. But that's going to be the subject of a YouTube episode. And I think it's pretty good.
Yeah, I cannot wait. I'm just speaking from my own mind. Like, I know basically from pictures and stuff like that what the Cecil looks like, this, that, and the other thing. I kind of know where it's situated. But I also hear, obviously, that it's on Skid Row. Can you kind of paint a picture of, like, when you walk out of the main entrance of the Cecil and you step onto the sidewalk and you look left and right, what does it look like as far as quote unquote Skid Row? Is it?
Oh yeah.
What's going on around, like, on the street outside?
Yeah, there'd probably be someone passed out. You know, right next to the building. You know, usually just a few people. You know, just loitering, hanging out. I mean, it looks like a. It's intimidating if you're not from around here. There's just a lot of rough looking characters always, like, just hanging around the outside.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
And does anyone ever, have you ever gotten fucked with? Anyone ever bother you or anything like that? Or they're just like, yo, this guy is just crazy enough to be here?
No, because, I mean, you know, people want to keep their housing. I mean, they want to keep to themselves. So, you know, no one's given me any trouble since I've been here.
Okay. It probably wouldn't be a good decision to bring a 13-year-old girl with me there, would it?
No. I don't think anyone under 18 should be allowed in Skid Row. And if you ever come here, you'd see why.
I can only imagine.
I mean, I live here now, and I'm still shocked on a daily basis with the things that I see.
Really?
It's just man's inhumanity to man just manifest every day, and it's a jungle. It's not a place you'd want to go in the daytime.
Really? And forget about the nighttime. It's fucking insane.
Probably. Oh, I wouldn't. I wouldn't know. I wouldn't even. That's just something I won't do. I'm you know, tucked in. You know, by the time, you know, it's sun's down.
Yeah. Now, I actually laughed, but God only knows the story behind it. But you posted the picture. You were like, somebody managed to escape the hotel last night, and there's like a sheet that's like,
yeah, Yeah.
Turned into like a rope, like from a fire escape, like to get out. What the fuck?
Yeah. Well, that, you know, that was probably someone lent, you know, trying to sneak their friend in or something, or a squatter, you know. That's one thing. It's, you know, the building was unoccupied for like 7 years, and people started saying, you know, seeing all these weird things going on in the building, like lights turning on and lights turning off. Those are squatters, man.
Of course.
Climb a rope like that. And that fire escape is not the only fire escape. There's three other ones that you can't see from the street. And that's where people get in.
Yeah. So this squatter is probably squatting right now in there.
Oh yeah. Yeah. They knock on my door and, you know, just to see if anyone's home. And then, you know, when they don't get an answer, they just knock on the next door, and eventually they find a room that's empty and they just move in.
Wow. Dude, that's so insane. And what's the story with you? I mean, you posted a video of you looking through your peephole.
Oh, yeah. I think that was what happened back in October. But
I know it was around Halloween time, and you said something like, we get trick-or-treaters.
Yeah, it was like I get a knock on the door at like 4 in the morning. And then the video that I showed you is what I saw when I looked through the peephole. It was some guy in like a trance-like state covered in blood. And he was just kind of, and I wasn't going to open the door for him. I mean, you know, what do I have to do for that? But he wasn't being violent or anything. He just looked something right out of Night of the Living Dead. And then, you know, so I was thinking, what do you do? And I was looking, you know, at him closely, you know, through the thing. The blood that he was covered with was not his. He wasn't, as far as I could tell, he wasn't injured at all. All the blood was just only on the shirt that he was wearing.
Jeez. So
he either picked up a bloody shirt, put it on or something, but he himself was not injured. So
that's, and he had like a bag in his hand or some shit.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what that was all about, but yeah, that sort of thing doesn't even generate a 911 call around here. That would be nothing. That happens all the time.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Usually,
why are there no cops? I mean, I kind of understand, because I don't know if you've ever been there, and I was there a couple of times, actually hitting locations from Rocky is in Kensington in Pennsylvania, right outside of, in Philly. That place is, I'll paint a quick picture. Like, listen, I'm 46, born and raised in New York City, born and raised in Brooklyn. I mean, back, you know, even in the early 90s, New York City was a shit show. It was not nice. It was burnt. Still, like in like Harlem and stuff, you still have burnt out buildings. Now it's all gentrified, and you can't get a studio apartment for less than like $2,500 in certain places, if not a lot more. But so I never get like nervous or anything like that as far as going into a bad neighborhood. But this is a few years back. I want to say probably about 4, maybe even 5 summers ago. I was driving through, and I had the exact directions to where Paulie and Adrian's house is, from the original one where Paulie throws the turkey out into the hallway, out into the alleyway. You know what I'm talking about? That house. So I had the address, and I heard from a few people that it was in a sketchy neighborhood. I'm like, how sketchy could it really be? So I'm driving down. I don't remember the name of the actual, like the big avenue. I'm like, yeah, this is some sketchy characters, but no big deal. And then I turn right off of that main avenue. I'm like, yeah. And then I go, and I'm about to turn left onto the actual block of the house. And I'm like, there is no way. Plus I have my girlfriend and my daughter in the truck. If it was just me, I don't even know. That would be a game time decision, because it was like, I'm like, fuck this. And then a friend of mine who lives in Philly, I told him, I'm like, bro, what's up with it? He's like, yo, you drove through that? I'm like, yeah. He's like, and this guy has tattoos on his face. This guy's like not a soft dude. Like, he's like, bro, I've gotten lost in there, and I'm driving around, and I pulled out my gun and kept it on my lap and rolled up the windows. Like, that place is an open air. The cops all know it's an open air drug market. If someone's dead, maybe they'll come in and get them and pull them out within a couple of days, maybe. So it's like they all know what goes on there. and it's all heroin and shit. And but yeah. I heard that is like Kensington is a place where junkies go to die. And it's fucking scary.
LA equivalent of that.
It's scary, dude. So and so I kind of get why maybe cops don't come over there. It's probably like the same kind of deal, more or less.
Yeah. Well, it was just really graphic, you know, graphically displayed because, you know, if this had happened in Beverly Hills at the Beverly Hills Hotel or something, I mean, how fast do you think the cops would be there?
Oh,
there would be a SWAT team response, you know,
10 seconds
rappelling down the walls, you know,
yeah.
In Skid Row, it's like, fuck, oh, well, you know, dude's tripping balls. Let's fix this fire alarm and get out.
Yeah, oh my God. Yeah, there was another one that you posted. You're like, there was a fire on the upper floor and now it's raining in my hallway because of the sprinkler system.
There was a fire. The sprinkler went off and the firefighters responded.
Oh,
they have to respond every time the sprinklers go off.
So. Oh yeah, that's logged. That goes right into this. That's plugged into the city.
Normally the fire alarm is as ignored as everything else around here.
Wow. Now, I'm not sure, wasn't it called something else for a little bit? It was a portion of the season. What was it called?
Beyond Maine.
Yeah, and what's up with that?
But it was, okay, well, the Cecil Hotel is just, you know, it was the Cecil. But it had, you know, the reputation of being the Cecil. Sure. So they're trying to find a way to rebrand it. So what they did...
Beyond Maine.
Yeah, but you see, they couldn't kick all the people out. You know, they took three floors and they remodeled it into this hip sort of, you know, young traveler, you know, hip hostel type place.
Yeah.
And that was called Stay on Main. And the other, you know, 10 floors were normal Cecil restaurants. So, you know, it must have been some real odd couples in the elevator there.
Well, yeah, it's like some, you know, a couple of hipsters traveling, whatever. Oh, it's, you know, it's cool to stay there. Next thing you know, they're in the same elevator as the Cecil residence, or was it separate entrances?
No, same elevator. You shared the elevator, and if you got off on any floor besides the Stay on Main floors, you were in the Cecil.
That's fucking crazy.
Got up to the 14th floor.
What happened?
Well, she was on the 14th floor. Elisa Lam was on the 14th floor, but Stay on Main, her Stay on Main was only on the third, fourth, and fifth.
Wow. No, sixth.
Yeah. Okay. So she had no business being where she was. She was in the Cecil, not the Stay on Main.
Right. That's crazy. That whole story is insane. But basically, you know, well, she had no business being there. And how the fuck she wound up climbing up into the fucking water, into the...
Yeah, that's the rub in the whole story. First of all, there's about a week that before they realized she was still in the hotel that anything could have happened. So we don't know that she went into the water tank the night that it happened. There's a whole week that's completely unaccounted for.
Right.
But when you actually physically go up there, it's really, you have to kind of just, you know, climb over pipes and wiggle around tanks. And
I think Danny Johnson put a Delta Bravo sticker on that tank.
Oh yeah. 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 We've done. Yeah. So I'm just saying, I'm saying this from personal experience. It's not easy to get there. And then when you get there, there's a great big pipe in front of you that you have to climb over to open the hatch to get in the tank. And it's just like, it's such a convoluted, I mean, it's the reason they didn't find her is because it never occurred to them that someone would do that.
Yeah, you don't even think about that.
Yeah, so it's just like, yeah, it's just really, it was just a really bizarre thing for someone to do, and it just, you know,
that siren's going off behind you now.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. No, leave it. I want that. That's good. No, that's fine. It creates, it's the ambiance, bro.
But as soon as one goes down, I mean, that was over on Spring Street, but as soon as one goes on Main, it's like we have to, like, suspend the broadcast till it goes away.
Hey, listen, it creates the atmosphere. It's fucking crazy.
Yeah, we get, you know, pretty much a constant stream of emergency vehicles here.
Oh my God. Yeah, you post something, there's people just got stabbed, there's shootings, you heard gunshots the other day. What was it today? Yeah.
That was a good one, because that was the first time that I'd ever heard gunshots that I actually knew that someone got shot. Because, I mean, you hear gunfire around here all the time. I mean, it's just, that's it. But this time I heard gunfire, and then a few minutes later I heard an ambulance. And then I went down, and then I went down there and saw all the cops, and they'd already established a perimeter, and they were taking the guy away. And, shots that I heard could have been the shot that hit that guy.
Yeah. You
get that with gunshots down here.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it was like yesterday or 2 days ago or something like that. You posted, like, the LAPD is storming the Cecil right now.
Yeah, that was another thing. It's like, I've never seen cops run like that before.
Me neither. I looked at it, and they were running into the hotel. Like
it was just something, like it was active shooter or something. So
it's like second nature at this point, it seems like. Whenever something goes on, either a knock at the door or anything, you're grabbing and recording it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's just like, I really ought to have cameras set up, is what I'm thinking.
Wouldn't you? You have to.
Yeah, yeah, because, I mean, there's just so much shit going on here all the time. And did you see the one where the big, gigantic blood stain appeared on the wall?
Yes.
Yeah, I was like, you know, where the fuck did that come from? And it was up for like a week. Oh. And I posted it. People were like, no, it's not blood. It's, you know, whatever, the, you know, ketchup or something, you know. First of all, it's huge. It's not for ketchup. So so anyway, they finally goaded me into testing it to make sure that it really was human blood. Uh-huh. And it passed. I mean, I swabbed it with hydrogen peroxide. It fizzed like crazy. And if you do that with ketchup or pasta sauce or taco sauce, it doesn't work that way. So, it was a huge blood stain on the wall.
Oh, my God. And like, is there like... is there like a super that works there? Like the superintendent or like the custodial staff of some sort?
Yeah, well, they but it doesn't seem like there's an El Jefe, you know, like a leader of the. Yeah, it just kind of, there's kind of a few maintenance guys that come around a couple times a day, you know, clean the blood stains off the wall.
Jeez.
Cans.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so now it's like, that's got me thinking, is like, you know, I don't know if you know what luminol is, but it's used to detect latent blood stains, you know, if you ever files, and I've got a hold of some of that I'm going to play with.
That would be insane.
Look for blood stains in the Cecil elevator.
Oh my God.
I'll bet there's blood on the ceiling in the Cecil elevator.
Yeah, probably is.
Yeah. So even if it was wiped away long ago, the luminol will pick it up. So that's gonna be good content. I think so. Look for that.
Yeah, definitely looking for. Yeah. So yeah, it's like I joke around. I'm like, is there any openings? You're like, yeah, there's tons. I'm like, I want to move in there, but like,
first of all, it's way overpriced for what it is.
I'm sure it is. If you don't mind me asking, ballpark, how much is like a one bedroom? Is there one bedrooms, two bedrooms? Is there different sizes?
No, that's one of the things. There's only one bedrooms, and everyone and probably 2/3 of them don't have their own bathroom. They all don't have their own kitchen, and they all rent for like $1,242. I don't know how they came up with that number, but they all rent for that. And if you're willing to pay $1,242 for that, you can move in.
And but how about one with your own bathroom and your own kitchen?
They're all $1,242. It doesn't matter whether they used to have a tiered pricing system, like where one was $900 and the other one was like, but now everything is, I don't know. It's just that how they're, I don't know why they're doing it that way, but that's what they're charging the county whoever the housing authority to keep people here.
Wow.
But if a private citizen want to pay that, you can do that too. So I just wouldn't want to.
That's crazy, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, now I'm second guessing. Like I would love to, maybe, cause my girl will probably be with me in California too. Maybe I'll go to a restaurant and then maybe I'll just go to the Cecil by myself to Yeah. Because yeah, I need to see that. And there's no way I'm going to bring my daughter around there. You know what I mean? No fucking way.
Well, you never know what you're going to run into.
Right.
I mean, you know, like I ran down when I went out to, you know, run my errands this morning. There was some woman like flipping out in the lobby, just completely, you know, losing her shit. Like, you know, but that happens every day. I mean, it's like nobody's paying attention to her, but if I had kids, that would be a real concern.
Yeah. Well, I just wouldn't want anybody like she's been with me in Brooklyn. So she's been on the subway and she's seen crazy people and shit, but I don't want anybody to approach me or her. You know what yeah. I mean? So that, I mean, that, yeah. I mean, so someone bugging out and losing their shit, my daughter probably look at me and probably like, Jesus Christ, like what a bad day. You know what I mean? But as far as someone coming up to me or coming and approaching her, it would be a bad.
I've lived here a few years, but you see, like for women, it's completely different. You know, I'm just a middle-aged man, you know, so I'm practically invisible, you know, here, a lot of places, but you know, that's completely different for women. So that's why I'm extra careful.
Yeah. 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 Well, I'm going to have to, that's a game time decision and see how the cards play out in order for me to go there. If I get like, you know, a half hour or an hour for me to go there by myself, then I don't care. I'll go there. You know what I mean? But
you can drop by. Yeah. I mean, you could drop by. There's really not that much to see. I mean, the lobby's beautiful. I mean, it's a really gorgeous, I mean, it's like a museum.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the building is just this maze of single room. I mean, it's like, it feels like a mausoleum. And it's just a maze of single rooms. Most of them don't have bathrooms. Most of them don't have street views. I mean, they just, you have a view of the next building, Cecil building over, and that's it. I mean,
it's, yeah. Fuck.
And plus you have all kinds of people living here. I mean, you know, there's most of them, you know, are either, you know, felons, you know, that have had a felony, you know, hung around their neck so they can't get a job, you know, for whatever reason. And the rest, you know, and then there's the addicts, which is probably about, you know, at least, you know, 2/3 of it, you know, mostly meth, you know, I've seen, you know, heroin or, you know, there's some old school alkies, and then there's just people that are profoundly mentally ill that just like, even if they had all the money in the world, they kicked out of, you know, normal housing because they just can't behave, you know, properly.
Yeah. So,
you know, it's the people that live here have to live here, except for like me. I could go be poor somewhere else.
Right.
Most of the people that live here don't have that choice.
Jesus. Fuck. All right. Well, we'll turn channels for a minute here. I was on your Facebook page, and you should just take a Delta Bravo logo and put it on some of your things, because you have hit some awesome spots, man. Like, dude, like I was looking, first of all, another place that I would like to get to, if it's along my route somewhat, is the spot where the Star Trek Arena episode where Kirk fights the fucking lizard.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You should plan on that. That's not hard to get to.
It's not. It's pretty easy.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons so many things were filmed there, is it's very, you know, it looks really, you know, like it's some out west exotic location, but it's actually not too far from LA at all.
Really?
I think it's inside the 30-mile studio zone.
Really? See, yeah, see that, like that's a spot that you hit that I'm like, that's awesome.
The Bat Cave is another one, and the Bat Cave is another one.
Yeah.
Really super easy to get to, that like has been in like every movie you've ever, that's had a cave in it ever.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's definitely somewhere I'd like to see. You've hit a House of a Thousand Corpses spot, Kill Bill Volume 1, Valkyrie, the original Hills Have Eyes, which was awesome. And there's a few that I thought were great. Like you hit old school shit like Tarantula and Them. Like that shit, I love all that old school cheesy shit.
Well, I was focusing mostly on desert sites because I had a Jeep and I really enjoy spending time out in the desert, and I did a lot of off-roading. So yeah, so for a time there, I just hit everything I could think of.
Fast and Pussycat, Kill, Kill, Kill.
Oh, that one took me a couple years to find.
Really?
I was just like, well, I mean, I love Russ Meyers. I mean, I just like, he's like one of my favorite directors because, you know, I like boobs and he likes boobs.
Right.
Nobody likes boobs like Russ Meyers. So I went out and found the spot like in the racetrack, you know, like where Tourist Satana kills the people. And I found all of, just about every major site in there. But when it came to the ranch at the end, I couldn't find it anywhere. And, you know, so I started looking for clues and I found out that it was near Mojave, California. And so I started looking on Google Earth to try and see if anything looked familiar. I didn't see anything. You know, so then a friend of mine gave me the biography of Russ Meyers. And Russ Meyers said he stayed at a place called Oliver Pesch's Musical Well, like ranch. So now I had an Oliver Pesch Musical Well ranch. So I started looking through like the property records and couldn't find anything like that. But I found a well record, like for like a water well,
yeah,
in the Kern County Department of Water and Power website, and it gave a township and ranch coordinates of where this well was, and so I went through the whole process of converting that to GPS and found it. Looked on Google Earth and it's right next to this house that could be it. But, you know, I couldn't really tell because we're looking straight down on it.
Right.
So anyway, I make the drive out there and it's like when I saw it, it was just like Eureka. Like there's a scene like Anna pulls up to the ranch with her Porsche. She could have been right there, right at that minute. It just looked, it hadn't changed at all.
Really? So, that's awesome when that kind of stuff happens.
Big one. And then I actually, I told a documentary filmmaker about it and ended up getting a credit for relocating that.
Really?
Yeah, that was probably, I don't think I'll ever top that.
That's pretty awesome, dude.
Yeah.
So I mean, you're in downtown LA. I mean, there's got to be a treasure trove of.
Yeah. Well, the one that right now is, you know, because I love They Live. It's, you know, one of my favorite movies.
Sure.
You know, Fight Club. So that's probably one you want to put on your list is Marla's Flophouse Hotel. The Hotel Bristol is just a few blocks away from here.
Really?
Yeah, that's a real easy one to get to. But one that's like less, like probably 100 yards from or less from where I'm sitting right now is in They Live when Rowdy Roddy Piper enters the bank with a shotgun.
Yes.
I'm here to kick ass and chew bubble gum, and I'm all out of bubble gum.
Bubble gum.
That happened right over there.
Really?
Yeah, and it's a nightclub now. It's a bank that's been turned into a nightclub called The Reserve, and I'm just trying to figure out a way to sneak in and smash it. But
yeah, that's awesome, dude. I love doing this stuff. Like, I started, like, this is the 10th year of the whole team, and I got in relatively late. It was almost 4 years in, like, that it was already, you know, formed and everything, where I kind of found it, and then I jumped in like crazy. Yeah, I've been.
Yeah.
I hit like over 1,000 spots already. Like, like a $3,000, almost $4,000 road trip last summer, just driving 3,000 miles, 8 days, all over Texas, Oklahoma, all the way back to Brooklyn. I took a one way flight from New York to Austin, Texas. I got a rental and I basically drove my ass back to Brooklyn, hitting spots all the way over. So next year is a one-way flight from New York to San Francisco, and I'm going to hit Alcatraz and Cole Street, which was one of Manson's houses before the whole cult thing. And then I'm going to work my way down into LA and Long Beach and all that stuff. And
like the Poltergeist house on the way down.
Yeah, Poltergeist house. Everything in Ferris Bueller's Day Off was filmed basically in Chicago, except for his house.
Yeah, the Donnie Darko's house is in that same neighborhood too.
Yes, so. Yeah, I saw that you hit that too.
Yeah,
there's so much, dude. It's California is probably along the same lines as New York, where, like I said, I've been doing this for almost 6 years, and I still have hundreds of spots in New York that I still need to hit. And then before I even get to those, I find the other ones and I go hit those and my list just grows and grows, even though I'm hitting stuff constantly.
Yeah. Well, I just like, it's more of deciding what not to hit.
Yeah.
Like, this man, is this worth going all the way out there for, you know,
right?
Like, but if it's like an A-list star or like a movie that was like iconic or something like that, you know, yeah. then I'll go. But, you know,
yeah,
a lot of, I'll just leave them for Steve Dahlman to do.
Steve Dahlman is coming up anyway. I'm actually recording. We're on podcast time. I just dropped an episode yesterday. So this will drop like the 14th or 13th or 14th or whatever. But tomorrow I'm recording with Steve Dahlman.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Because he hits everything. I mean, it's one thing. You can go to the most boring town and something was filmed there at some point.
I say that all the time. It's like no matter where you live, it might not be a lot. It could be one or two little small things that a lot of people might not know about. But
yeah,
there's something there.
Yeah. I've had the privilege of doing it over in England.
I've never been overseas like that.
Movies of all time was Trainspotting.
Oh, so, dude, I haven't seen it in so long, but what a crazy movie.
Yeah. So I had to hit all the spots in Trainspotting. So it's like anywhere you go, you know, you can do it.
Yeah, man. I say that shit all the time. It's like people are like, oh, it's so cool what you do. I'm like, but you can do it too. Yeah, but I don't know how. What do you mean you don't know how? You have a phone. You live in New York. It's like, either drive or get on a bus or a train or walk on a nice day. Just take a walk and just go look for something. And I don't know. I don't see myself stopping it anytime soon. All I'm doing is planning road trips and planning smaller road trips and big road trips. And like for instance, I'll be at work. I work like 4 or 5 blocks right from the middle of Times Square, like 5 blocks from it. And I'll have to take a walk like to the hardware store, or like an electrical supply store or something like that for my job. And, you know, so there's a couple of stores that I go to. It's like 20 blocks away. And my boss is cool. He's like, oh, you can take a chair. Just take a walk. Take your time. And on my way there, I'll be looking for a spot to hit on my way there. Like,
yeah.
It's constant. And it's like, I'm looking forward to, like, as soon as the weather breaks a little bit, like, I never hit Boston. I've been to Boston, but I never did any Delta Bravo stuff there. I need to go to Boston. I need to go to the Ohio, what is it? It's the Ohio Reformatory, Boyd's Reformatory, something like that. That's basically the entire place where it was Shawshank Prison, from the Shawshank Redemption.
Oh, okay.
So, and you can go there, and it's like a museum now. You go there, you pay your little $5, and you walk around for as long as you want, and you get all the Shawshank spots. Like, I'll go all the way to Ohio just to do that because it's a destination, and there's more than, like, one thing to do.
Yeah, you know? And it's a huge movie, too.
It's a huge movie, and plus me, I'll be like, okay, well, we're going this way. Now, what's on our route that's not too far off that we can stop and hit? And then I'll take a different route back and hit something else. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I love doing this shit. I work and I take care of my kid. I do my, obviously, all the priority stuff. But other than that, I look for spots and I go out and I get lost and I just get the fuck out of the house.
Origin story, because I remember I was in the early 80s when I got into this. I was driving in the back of a pickup truck because that's how we rolled in those days, up the 405. My friend Kyle pointed out the firehouse, like the firehouse from Emergency, which was like, you know, 1977. That's like what every kid watched was Emergency.
Yeah.
And it was like magical. It was like, fuck, there it is. It's like just walking in and just I had an epiphany and it's like I've been into it ever since.
Yeah, man.
I was doing it for years, and then, you know, I eventually found Delta Bravo and I was completely shocked that cool people did this too.
Yeah. It's kind of like, like, my whole deal was, I've said this before on other episodes, but it doesn't make a difference. Because, I don't know, someone might be watching who'd never heard of this podcast before, and so they'll know. As far as I can remember, like, when I was a little kid, I was always been into horror and stuff like that. So I remember watching the original Friday the 13th, and I remember I was, like, wondering, where was this filmed? Like, I know it's probably not called Camp Crystal Lake, but this is a real lake. Where was this? Blah, blah, blah. And I always thought about that in other movies. Like, and then you know, and then like then the internet comes out and I find out, oh, it's in Blairstown, New Jersey, and then early version of like MapQuest or something. And I put it in. It was like, oh, it's like an hour and 47 minutes from where I am right now. I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. Maybe one day. I've been there like I don't know how many times at this point. But
I have to go there. That's on my bucket list.
Yeah. Well, it's actually still a fully functional Boy Scout camp.
Huh.
It's called Camp Nobi Bosco. And the actual Camp Crystal Lake is called Sand Pond. And that's the real place. But there's actual legitimate tours that you could take where they bring you into the cabins and they have like the Monopoly board is set up in the actual. Oh. Yeah, it's I've never done the guided tour thing, but I need to. And every once in a while, they'll do like you could stay overnight and you could stay in one of the log cabins. Like there's only two things. There's only two structures that don't exist. It's one of the cabins and like a small other thing that don't exist anymore. But other than that, the whole place is exactly the same as it was.
Oh, that would be, yeah, I'd be into that.
Yeah.
Tragedy when you lose these, you know, places and you can't go to them anymore.
Yeah.
One of my favorite movies is Reservoir Dogs.
Oh, and, dude, I am so mad that the warehouse doesn't exist anymore.
None of it exists. It's basically every cool part in that movie doesn't exist except for Lorraine's, you know, coffee shop.
Right, the coffee shop. And I know that it's in Burbank. But when Mr. Orange and Mr. White are sitting there and they're looking, they're casing out the Diamond Wholesaler building. That's there because I already have that mapped out. That's in Berkeley.
Oh, shit. Oh.
That's in Berkeley, though. But yeah. that's still there. But yeah, yeah. So I'm all into this stuff. And then it's like, you know, 1992 rolls around and House of Pain is a thing. And you know, I'm from Brooklyn and Jump Around is everywhere and this and that. And I'm into all that early hip hop and shit like that. And then fast forward, like 2007, I hit up Danny Boy to see if he wanted to do like a quick little episode of my old podcast that I used to do. He's like, yeah, dude. And he was like, he was playing in Philly with La Coca Nostra. And I was like, all right. So we went out to Philly anyway. And he was like, yo, he will tells us to come backstage. And I kind of just wanted to do like a quick little, 10, 15 minute in and out thing. Cause I knew he was performing. I didn't know him at the time. You know what I mean? So next thing you know, we go all the way in the back away from all the noise. And we pull out some folding chairs and I did it right into my phone. And it was weird because like, we weren't even talking about anything about House of Pain or anything like that. We're talking about like the Outsiders and hitting locations and shit. So it's kind of crazy how it all works out where I was always interested in this kind of stuff. I've always been a House of Pain fan, but now it's like Danny Boy is my friend and this is what we're talking about. It was just very, very strange. It's super cool. And like the nicest guy ever hanging out with him in Tulsa at the Outsiders house. Like it's just crazy how it all works.
End of the Outsiders house while it was still under construction.
It's awesome. It's so awesome.
Yeah. It's like, I haven't been back since it was open, but yeah, I stopped there because my girlie at the time had to have a therapy appointment with her therapist and didn't want me in the car. So parked and had her therapy session while I was getting a tour, you know, like poking around at the Outsiders house. And then the guy that was working on it, I can't remember his name, like came out and said, hey, are you a fan? And he took me around the whole house. It was just
Donnie Rich.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Yeah.
You have a light on that? Could you have a light on you could put on in there?
Oh.
I'm losing you. Yeah, Donnie Rich. Yeah, he was a huge part of putting that whole museum together.
Yeah. Will this light work? I think it's the only light I have.
Oh, yeah, no, that's perfect.
Yeah, I'm
losing you.
Totally looks like a sleazy motel, too.
That's fine, dude. But you're at the Cecil, which rules. That's so crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't got much art up on the walls, but it's in progress.
There you go. It's in progress. You should. Yeah. Well, you have this YouTube channel coming up. And I told you before, I had to, dude, because I collect weird shit. I have bricks and rocks and pieces of wood from places and stuff like that. So I saw that you have fucking Cecil water. I'm like, I have to have that.
Yeah, it's been surprisingly popular.
Yeah.
It turned out to be a side hustle that, you know, pays the grocery bills.
Yeah.
So most people are wanting the water from Richard Ramirez's room, so I'm working on that. But I should be offering that soon. So,
right. Well, if you really think about it, it's all from the same water supply. But I guess it's from if it's from there. Yeah, I guess.
But definitely went up to the water tank. You know, the water tank.
Yeah.
It trickled down into the building where it was collected by me.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, it's definitely from the Hotel Cecil plumbing system. It's like, you know, because that's when everyone was like, would you drink it? You know, it's like, you know, I don't know. I avoided drinking it for a couple of weeks, but then I relented. Now I drink it all the time.
Yeah, whatever. It tastes like normal water.
Yeah, of course it does. I mean, you know, it's just.
It's from the Cecil, though, so it's a little asterisk next to that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, you can't get a brick from the Cecil. You can't get, you know, there's really no, you know, way to get a souvenir, but you can't get the water. And the water, and it's at, no one denies that the water has killed somebody.
There you go. Well, how about this, the steps leading up to the back entranceway where you go every day and whatever, are those made of concrete?
Yes. Yeah.
See me, I would go there with a little small little hammer and get a chip of the step.
Oh, yeah, you could do that, but, you know, it's like, that particular alley is like an open sewer, it's in Skid Row, so it's like, whenever I take people back there, I say, stay away from the walls, and, you know, whenever you see a puddle of water, it's not water,
right.
So you could hammer and get one, but be warned, it's not.
Oh, I'm sure it's not going to be pretty, and I'm not even worried about someone being, hey, what are you doing? I mean, what am I doing compared to whatever all the shit show that's going on around me?
Yeah, but you can't get the water on Etsy.
Yes. Cecil water.
Have your own little piece of the Cecil.
Yes, and I ordered mine earlier today. I have to have it.
100% of the proceeds go to a Cecil, a bum, trying to avoid homelessness.
There you go. See? There you go. Well, dude, this was fucking all. And when does your YouTube channel, like, I know that your YouTube channel is up right now, and you
it's up with a teaser, just a trailer.
Yes.
But it's officially the first episode, which is based mostly on the incident that we talked about where the gentleman was throwing stuff down, you know, on the sidewalk today. It's being edited. It might be today, might be tomorrow, but yeah, any minute now.
Awesome.
I think what are they calling it? They're calling Life at the Cecil with Greg.
Yes. I was just going to look it up so I didn't butcher it. Yes. Life at the Cecil with Greg.
Yeah.
On YouTube.
I'm really impressed with the work that they're doing. I mean, these, you know, it's good stuff. It's all no fluff. You're going to see stuff that you don't see anywhere else about the Cecil. It's not just a rehash of what everyone else has. This is original stuff and it's good.
And it's like the daily life at the Cecil, which is fascinating. Yeah.
And all the weird shit that goes on here, you know, from a first-hand perspective. I mean, I could go on and on just about the acoustics at this place. I mean, you know, it's like every weird noise or weird thing you saw here was like you gave it a paranormal explanation. You'd think you lived in the poltergeist house.
Oh, shit.
It's like I need cameras and stuff to document that, but it's coming.
Yeah, that's definitely something because you could have gold. You're living in a gold mine.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, you gotta, when life gives you lemon, you have to make lemonade and
out
that this is a pretty good lemon.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I mean, it's world fucking famous and.
Yeah, I just got an order from Hungary. I have to figure out how to ship it there, but yeah, shipping some water to Hungary.
There you go. That's cool. Yeah, it just costs more. You got to go to the post office and fill out a customs form. It's going to be ridiculously expensive, but I'm sure that the person had to pay for shipping.
I'm just going to give them the quote and say, this is how much it costs. If you want it, you know, take it or leave it.
Yeah, just bring it to the post office and they'll weigh it. They'll be like, well, this is how much it's going to be. And it's going to be a stupid, a ridiculous amount because I've mailed like T-shirts overseas. And it's like, why is it costing me $23 to just to send a T-shirt?
Yeah,
like, you think. Insane.
Yeah, it's not going to be cheap, but if he's willing to pay it, I mean, where else are you going
to get it? Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, I mean, listen, you want to pay the shipping. You know, I mean, you're buying a shirt for $20 and you're paying $25 for shipping. You really want to do that? Like, yeah. I'm like, all right, listen, You could do that if you want. I wouldn't, but all right. Thank you.
Well, this is a one-of-a-kind item. It's like, you know.
Yeah. Get it,
so hopefully, you know. But, yeah, it's world famous. And the amount of foot traffic I get here is just unbelievable. It's like every time I look down there, there's someone taking pictures of the building or hanging out. Big. It's Cecil Mania right now.
I'm sure it is. I'm sure it's always a fucking circus. Dude. Well, dude, this was awesome. Do you mind if I throw out my sponsors real quick? And then I won't go. I won't hold you hostage for very much longer. Are you a coffee guy? You drink coffee?
Oh, me. I drink coffee socially. I'm a social coffee drinker, but not a bit.
One of the sponsors of the podcast is a company called Dead Sled Coffee. DEADSLED Coffee. You can follow them on Instagram at Dead Sled Coffee. If you go to deadsledcoffee.com and you type in the promo code Delta Bravo, you will get 20% off of your order. Yeah, it's a small company and they do awesome shit. And if you don't just drink coffee, they have tea and cold brew and a whole bunch of stuff. So support those guys. Also, Main Street Jukebox. Follow them on Instagram at Main Street Jukebox. It's MAINST Jukebox. He's a fellow Delta Bravo guy, Tom Lefevre. It's a record store that's been around since 1994. They're still open. They're located on Main Street in Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania. Once again, a small company, and he's a Delta Bravo guy. And listen, he survived the pandemic. He survived the building fire. He did this and that and the other thing, and he's still up in business. So support Main Street Jukebox. There's also MainStreetJukebox.com where you can order stuff online. If you're not in the Pennsylvania or tri-state area. Also, Kevin Bednarz, who is also a Delta Bravo guy, he owns three pubs. It's the Percival Pub, Percival Eats, and the Ashburn Pub. Follow all of them on Instagram. And if you're in the area, stop by and grab a beer if you're a beer drinker, or grab something to eat, because Kevin's a really good dude and all of his shit is awesome. And yeah, another local small family-owned business, and that's all I do here. Is I'm not going to start, you know, supporting Amazon, you know what I mean? But, you know, buy some water from the Cecil from, you know, on Etsy, you know what I mean? Help out the little guys.
Always support. Indeed.
Yeah, 100%. Support the little guys before you support these gigantic corporations.
Yeah, they got enough already.
Yeah, they do. They do. Spread the wealth a little bit. So now, do you have an Instagram account?
Comrade Grisha, I think is. I mean, I don't have an Instagram account for the for my Cecil, but that's where I publish all my Cecil stuff. So yeah, if you want to keep up with, you know, the insane things that I see every day on Skid Row, it's Comrade Grisha. C O M A D E G R I S H A. Comrade Grisha.
Okay. For all your Cecil updates. And subscribe to the YouTube channel. And yeah, once again, go to Etsy and go to Cecil Water and buy a bottle. What's that?
Life at the Cecil with Greg. That's
Life at the Cecil with Greg. Subscribe and tune in. I can't wait.
Yeah.
I'm subscribed, so I'll get a notification when something new comes up. So I'll be tuning in, my man.
Well, it's good. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
It's worth your time. It's not the same old shit that everyone else has.
Awesome. And the only thing I ask for anybody is if you follow, it's Delta Bravo Mission Statements on Instagram. And if you go to the link in the bio there, it'll open up to a link tree. And that's where you can find everything Delta Bravo, Outsiders House, and podcast related, every single platform, every social media platform, all the Delta Bravo Facebook groups and pages. Everything is there. Just hit the link in the bio on Delta Bravo Mission Statements on Instagram. And that's that. Greg, thank you so much for your time, my man.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, of course, man. And like I said, this will come out in a couple of weeks. I drop them once every 2 weeks. I don't like to go insane with them. So once every 2 weeks on average, I drop them. And as soon as I drop them, you'll be tagged in everything. I'll tag the Cecil on YouTube when I put up this on YouTube. Everything you'll know full well when this is available.
Right on. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Me too, my man. Thank you so much once again. And be safe, man. I mean, listen, I laugh and I think it's fascinating because I'm over here in Brooklyn, but I'm sure it's not a very awesome place to live. I'm just living vicariously, but
yeah. Well, I've been attacked a couple times, so I carry my pepper spray.
There you go. Carry your pepper spray and be careful. Yeah. Stay safe, my man.
Okay, yeah, thanks. Signing off.
Signing off. Be good, brother.